Entrepreneur Circle is an On Air Brands production and a proud member of the On Air Brands Network.
Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Entrepreneur Circle, Eric Cabral.
On this episode,
when you can get down to the emotional core level of why things matter, and that is your bedrock, then what happens here is you wake up one day and your product doesn't fit the emotional reason of why this needs to solve this thing in the world. It's like your product needs to align with the pain or the emotion or the whatever that is. You know what I mean? And so that's something I have the privilege to do with companies that they can't do themselves.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle. My goal is to inspire you by chatting with entrepreneurs about their successes, their failures in life and in business. I am your most humbled host, Eric Cabral, a real estate investor, a creative, and I've been in the creative industry for over 20 years. Got my start in New York City as a junior art director, made my way to the top of the corporate ladder and realized there was the proverbial glass ceiling. So I hung up my corporate hat and started my own creative agency called On Air Brands, where we broadcast your brand and your message using podcasts and social media marketing, along with the help of my other company, PodMax, which hosts live and virtual events for top performing entrepreneurs to get them on podcasts and to learn from our keynote speakers and our massive network. So to learn more about that event, hit up podmax.co and sign up for the next event. They're happening each and every month. So as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with 2 to 3 of your friends to continue growing our community and to help others grow from the knowledge shared here and learned here on this podcast. And before we jump into the show, I'd like to share some of what our sponsors, partners, and good friends have to offer you. Hey there, entrepreneurs. Eric Cabral here, founder of On Air Brands and host of the Entrepreneur Circle and Capital Hacking. I wanted to share something truly unique with you that we've created called PodMax, which is an amazing opportunity to connect you with major podcasts to help you share your fascinating stories with their communities. This unique invitation-only event includes interviews with you on top-rated business podcasts all in one day. It also provides a unique networking opportunity with high-performance guests and thought leaders who are authors, coaches and consultants, investors, speakers, executives, you name it. These are the type of people that you need to be around. We also provide industry expert keynotes to hit our stage to share insights on podcasting, investing, marketing to help you take things to the next level. And the cool thing about PodMax is that it has a multimedia agency engine behind it with On Air Brands to provide social media promotions before and after the event to share your brand new shows with your network. So hit the apply now button at podmax.co and I hope to see you at the next PodMax event. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Entrepreneur's Circle. As always, I'm your humbled host, Eric Cabral, and with me, like some other days, I have an amazing individual with me in the Zoom room by the name of Chris Carr. How you doing, brother?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. So I'm going to let the audience learn a bit about you, as I will be learning as well, but also get them a little bit familiar with who and what you are and what you've done. So Chris Carr is the president and CEO of the fastest growing marketing agency in Philadelphia called Farotech. And he's celebrating a big win, which is his 20th anniversary with that company. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks. Bro. Thanks. The fastest growing is a little bit self-proclaimed, but
of course.
I'll take it.
Hey, man.
Marketing, man.
I'm with you. Well, yeah, I Googled the number one podcast training, networking, and podcasting event, something along those lines, with our company PodMax, and it doesn't exist. Right? No one's owning all those three things.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, we're the number one in the world.
We got to be.
You got to be. And I'm throwing it out there. It's staking that claim, put the flag down. But yeah. But yeah, bro, thank you for being here. Yeah. We had a nice long chat. We practically had a podcast recorded before turning on the mics, talking about solutions and figuring cameras and, you know, Zoom out. But yeah, it's always good to have that banter before we
hit the record button. So folks, we're going to jump into our rapid fire, what I like to call the quick hits from the hip. Chris is not prepared for these, so we're going to get some fun, quick answers and get to know him on a deeper level, which is what I found is the most enjoyable part of this. So you ready, bro?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So if stranded on a desert island, what's the number one book or album or both that you'd absolutely have to have with you?
Yeah. You know what? My wife teases me because I'm not a big reader, but I'm a huge Audible guy. And so I will brag about books that I've read, right? I'll brag about books that I've read. And I don't actually read them. I just listen to them. But I'm a book, yeah. I'm a book junkie, but in audio format. You know, I think the one that intrigues me the most would probably be non-work. It would be a non-work book would be Into Thin Air, John Krakauer. It's about the people that were they were scaling Mount Everest and there was a disaster up there and it was like the most people died in a single day. But in that same disaster, there was like massive heroics and just all these amazing people like rallied to pull it off, you know, turned into a movie, you name it. But, That's different.
That's a different one. Okay.
But what's funny about this is that, and I'm getting into the weed right off the bat, is I read this in college and was so inspired that I started mountain climbing for about 45 days, became a pro mountain climber in 45 days, decided me and my buddy are going to go up to the Adirondacks in the middle of winter, try it there, and we got lost for 4 days. 4 days. I had frostbite all over myself. Had to get rescued professionally, helicopters flying over our head. Yeah, it was a national news story. It was literally the dumbest thing a 21-year-old could do. And all because of that book. But if I'm on a desert island, the book I don't want to read is probably How to Swim Home, because I would try. Yeah.
Yep. That's great, man.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just something you just do when you're a 21-year-old that you just think, oh, yeah, of course I'm qualified for this.
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow. You know, I mean, I like what you're saying there, though, because there are elements in your DNA, even though you were 20 years old, but you've had your business for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, there's something telling about that because you are obviously a ready, fire, aim type of guy. You know, you take risks and it's evident in your success and what you're doing with your company and what you've grown. So, I mean, there's ties in there, which makes sense. But, you know, having the inexperience or the bravado that could potentially kill you is dangerous. But I'm glad you got it out of your system.
You're not kidding. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It was... The pain was actually my parents and family who just they lost it. You know what I mean?
Wow. I mean, what was that like? I mean, you didn't eat for four days?
I lost 20 pounds in 4 days.
Wow.
It's crazy. My the guy I was with, we were walking in a river between two mountains. He broke through all that crazy stuff. Like literally anything that could have possibly gone wrong did for 3 days, and then on day four we got rescued.
Jeez,
and all because my cousin had a bad feeling and she called the Rangers. The funny story is it happened in New York. And you know how like the taxes in New York are insane? Yeah. If it happened in Pennsylvania or somewhere else, I probably would have got a bill for like $200,000. But the good people in New York paid for my rescue.
I was probably in New York at the time, so you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
That is nuts, dude. Wow. Yeah. So if she never called... Yeah, who knows where we're at?
I know. Oh, she'll hold it above my head every single year because every February 4th, I post this dramatic like thing on my Facebook thing about being happy to be alive. And she's just like, you're welcome. Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
Wow. That is nuts, dude. Yeah, you should write about that experience.
The
lessons learned. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, seriously. What not to do.
this question right here is always a fun one because I only had one person that said, I don't have an answer for that, but we'll see. So dead or alive, who is the one person you'd be able to open hand smack in the face?
Oh man. Right now?
Dead or alive? Dead or alive.
Dead or alive. It really depends on the context, but when I hear Chris Collinsworth you know, commentate football games, I'm like, I wish I could be there to smack his face. Something about his voice, something about him, I'm like, oh my gosh. He just gets me. He's brutal to me.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wait, who does he commentate for? Which team?
Well, I mean, he's national, I believe. And so he's gets national. The Eagles twice a year. Okay. And he's just got that voice that.
Is it his voice or how he commentates or what he's saying?
How he commentates and, you know, I don't know how to describe it. Like once he's on my bad side, I'm just like, yeah, that guy's got, you know, like my wife and I, she's like a kind soul, but we have this thing that's called, we call it PFF, which is like punch me in the face. He's got one of those in my eyes too. So it's like a perfect storm of voice and face.
Punch me in the face. PFF. I love it.
Yeah. Was it PIFF?
Yeah, I think we butchered it and then stuck with it.
That's so good. I'm going to have to adopt that. The only term I use that's kind of funny, I picked it up from one of my old college buddies. He used to say, and every time I use it, people, you know, it's a spit take. It's drink or food.
Yep.
Like something, you eat something so good, and it's like, oh damn, this is so good. This is like punch somebody in the face good. if you're a comic person, or you like love watching Looney Tunes or whatever, you can totally see it, like eat something. It's like, like Three Stooges.
And how old are your kids?
3 and 6.
Yeah. So mine are 4 and 2, and there's a guy Blippi. He's on YouTube. Don't let your kids see it. It's bad. Anyhow, my son is totally into this guy. And I posted it on Facebook about how I can't stand this guy. And this girl was like, every time I hear his face, I want to throat punch a baby. I was like, I am totally stealing.
you have to steal it and then see how other people react to it. If you get a laugh, man. Keep bringing it back. Yeah, awesome. So last meal, either. Yeah. What would your last meal be?
I know.
Or some people like to take it like, oh, my last meal, and they tell me what they ate last. But yeah, I'm more interested in
No. Like death row.
Yeah.
Crime I didn't commit, but now I'm getting in the chair. But they say your last meal. Yep. I'm big snow crab leg guy. You know what I mean? I'm also a popcorn junkie. It's like, it's pretty bad. You know what I mean?
you get those tins with all the sections?
Yeah, no. I'm talking about movie theater popcorn, like
movie theater straight up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fake butter.
Oh, it's bad. And like, it doesn't matter. I could have just like gone to a Brazilian steakhouse, eaten 4 hours worth of just solid meat. But if I went to a movie afterwards, I'm like, I'm getting the popcorn. It's happening.
The big tub, the biggest one.
It's just, you can't walk by. It's like a ringing phone. It's like, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yep. So we're on the track here. What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
Did Alligator, which is a restaurant in Westchester, PA, that does alligator. You know, I think it tastes like kind of like gamey chicken. I think that's fine. I think that the thing that I eat on a regular basis that's weird is like I make concoctions in my eggs all the time of like meat and vegetables and stuff. And my wife is like, I can't even look at that, let alone eat it. It's just
so it's like omelet to the next level.
Yeah, exactly. And it always turns like green. Like it's like in Better Off Dead, like when the mom cooked this stuff and it like crawled off the plate. Like that's what happens when I'm done.
Oh my God. Sometimes those are the best meals when you just throw stuff in, no recipe.
Dog food. Like literally it's like dog food. But Yeah, works for me.
My sister used to call that when she was in Oneonta. She and I would stay with her and all her dorm friends. They would make garbage plates.
Yeah,
and it was literally all the leftovers in the fridge just thrown into a skillet and then just with butter.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes those were the best meals I ever had.
Exactly.
Yep. All hungover.
Yeah, and I have no idea like what mixes with what. I'm like Old Bay would go great with this.
Maybe a little hot sauce.
Exactly.
That's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. So what is your preferred mode of transportation, Chris?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I can't afford a Tesla, but want one. I'm waiting for my next car that can auto drive me home. I drive about an hour a day. That would be the bomb to me. And it's going to happen in my lifetime. I believe. I want a company like Jeep to basically steal everything from Tesla and and make that happen. I got a Jeep Cherokee. I love it. But I bought it 2 years earlier than all these lane assist things. Even lane assist alone would be great. I'm on the turnpike and at 40 hours a week. So, you know what I mean? Just not having to worry about.
I mean, the so you're not into the Tesla truck design?
It's interesting, right? I'm a massive Elon Musk guy. You know what I mean? But the more I know about him, the more he can dream and it's going to happen. And whether you like it or not, it's kind of like when like Steve Jobs says, "Hey, I'm just going to take all the USBs off of a laptop." And the whole world's just like, "That's the stupidest idea ever." He's like, "Well, I'm doing it."
Yeah. You're going to send us to Mars on laptop batteries.
Exactly.
Can you imagine?
Yep.
It's Tesla's. I mean, they are affordable now. I know people, a lot of, it, depending on which model you want, there's, you know, anywhere from 100,000 down to, I think, 35K. But I was driving with my buddy the other day, and he had a, I think it was the three, the smaller sedan. And he was like, "Yeah, go ahead, drive it." We had a half hour drive.
So much fun.
And he was like, "Yeah, look, do the auto drive thing." And I mean, you do have to kind of keep your hands on the wheel.
Yep.
Or else, you know, you get dinged and they're like, "You know, stop doing this." But it was pretty wild, man. Especially if you're on a highway.
Yeah.
How it changes lanes and all that stuff.
It's unbelievable. And, it's unbelievable.
Gets off on ramps and... Yeah, it's pretty wild. But I'm with you, though. I'm imagining a day where I could sit back and read or have a conversation and do whatever, and it just drives like I'm on a train or something.
Yep.
That'd be cool.
Well, I'm going to nerd out on some company stuff. Is that I use his approach for our marketing all the time. So we build a unique process, 19 years. But at least once a year, we kind of like do like a, what I would call like a Tesla experience, where I'm like, I felt like Tesla, Elon Musk goes, "What do we know about a car? It has four wheels and a steering wheel. Everything else is, you know what, like, let's just throw everything out, but those four things, those are the things that we know we need. Now let's reimagine a car like one's never been built before. And what would you do?" So we take our process that's working and stuff like that, but like, there's nothing sacred. There's no sacred cow in this process. What could change if money wasn't an option? If whatever it was, what could we do to build the dream machine? And then we work backwards and be like, is this feasible and not, stuff like that. And even if we're 5% off from the main unique process, it's very possible that we're going to find some gems in there. But if you always start from your framework and say, how can we tweak, you're going to, you know, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it takes a long time to tweak yourself into success. But if you're willing to throw away the playbook and look at it fresh. It's worked.
I love that. I mean, that's telling, right? As a leader, you know, in your company and business, having the humility to step up to the plate in front of your team and say, "Hey, this isn't perfect. You know, it works. You know, it's making us money, but how do we make it better?" You know, because there's a lot of people who have egos and they're like, "This is the best. There's no need to tweak or change it." You know, but you know, so that's, you know, I'm learning a lot from your methods. I imagine that if you throw a third party in there or someone that's not necessarily in your business or industry,
it helps.
They'll start to ask questions, right? Yep. Like, "Oh man, I didn't think of that."
Yep.
You know, because when we're all in the mix together day in and day out, it's it's kind of tough to see the forest.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So we do gap assessments for our clients, which is like a 2-month process. It's a deep dive into your business. And then I develop a 3-to-5-year roadmap. But I'll do certain forms of questioning. My team will do certain forms of questioning that you can't ask yourself internally, right? Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, your boss might find it patronizing if I use the 5 whys. Have you ever heard of the 5 whys?
Yeah, it refreshed my memory.
I'll say hypothetically, like, you're going to order a pizza. It's like, "Well, why are you ordering a pizza?" "Oh, because I'm hungry." "Well, why are you hungry?" Well, I haven't eaten, you know, I haven't eaten in 3 hours. Like, "Well, why do you have to eat every 3 hours?" And then when you get to their fifth why, it usually comes down to the emotional experience of, "Dude, I just literally, I like pizza You know what I mean? Or whatever that is, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's probably a bad example because I'm really talking about pizza, but when you can get down to the emotional core level of why things matter, and that is your bedrock, then what happens here is you wake up one day and your product doesn't fit the emotional reason of why this needs to solve this thing in the world. It's like your product needs to align with the pain or the emotion or the whatever that is. You know what I mean? And yeah. So that's something I have the privilege to do with companies that mm-hmm. they can't do themselves, because I don't know, it'd be really hard to go to your boss and he'd find it patronizing to be like, well, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, it's just, we also get to see it from a fresh set of mm-hmm. eyes. I can't tell you how many times people are like, well, no one's asked that before. I'm like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. why you hire an outside guy to look at your business. Right.
Exactly. It's funny because, especially, you know, larger businesses or corporations often have leadership that is just so set in their ways.
Yeah.
You know, I when I was in corporate, I used to love the analogy. You know, it's harder to make change because it's this gigantic ship.
Yep.
Right. And to turn the wheel, you know, 2 degrees to the left or right, you know, takes a year.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just, let's admit, they're resistant to change. Mm-hmm. You know, it causes pain, and pain is growth, as you and I know. But
yep.
But yeah, that's good stuff, man. So this is a fun one. As you're running to the stage to do your TED Talk, what's the music playing over the loudspeaker? It's Kreska. What's the music pumping through?
Yeah, you know, I'm 43, so I don't think I can go on stage without Welcome to the Jungle. I think it's mandatory, yeah. Right?
I like that beginning. Right? That's good. Man.
I probably should have a go, but I don't think I'm allowed.
No, it's so you know? Good.
You just walk,
dude. You know, you and I are the same generation. I remember, I was a teenager when that came out, and my parents put me into the basement. They're like, "Okay, we'll respect your space. You can have your own space." And I had this gigantic TV, you know, bulb CRT TV. And I'll never forget when that video came on, like what that did to me. I was I heard that ding and then like the streets and what's his face? Axl Rose walking with a handkerchief on his house. Like, who is
it's
this
like
person?
The sound of jet skis. You know what I mean? Like, meaning like, you know, they say like, you can't not have fun on the jet ski. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, money can't buy you happiness. It's like, well, try to not have fun on the jet ski. Right. Well, like Welcome to the Jungle is like that. It's like, try to be sad when Welcome to the Jungle comes on.
Yeah. Try not to punch someone in the face when that goes.
Have you ever like, you're like walking in a public space and Welcome to the Jungle comes on. And you're like, hold on. Like, you need to stop. It's
like, right? Yeah. So good. I love that. I love it. Such a good song.
Yep. Hello, this is Josh McCown, CEO of Viva May Hospitality and the beautiful Renault Resort Winery. I have to tell you, the secret's out. And the secret is On Air Brands. On Air Brands Creative Agency, which specializes in launching podcasts, transforming live events into live streaming events, and social media marketing soup to nuts. On Air Brands has changed the game. There'll never be a day from here forward when you and I and our companies don't need to be on the air. Every brand needs to be on the air, but so few know that. So it's great to work with a group that are ahead of the curve and to find a company that has been built on the core foundation of the future of marketing. If you're ready to broadcast your brand like they've done for my brands, take the next step and make a change that can transform your business. Reach out to On Air Brands today. That's onairbrands.com. Yes, onairbrands.com.
All right. So if you had to title this part of your life in a book, what would that chapter title be?
Yeah, I would say this is finally, well, two things. I would say finally growth. What I mean by that is for 20 years, maybe I'm just slow on the take, right? But it took me 20 years to build to a spot where we have our business in a space where we can, I don't know, like we're not afraid of our next client. We're not afraid of our next paycheck. We're just not afraid, right? And when you know, I have a sales guy who says, you know, when you go into a sales deal, act like you have $1 million in your pocket, because when you do that, right, you're gonna live freer. You're gonna do things. You're gonna see things in a different light. If you walk in desperate, like the room feels desperation and stuff like that. Well, I'm not trying to act like, oh, we just got $1 million in our pocket. Where what I'm saying is that when you don't have to worry where your next paycheck comes from, the shackles are off. You're able to dream a little bit bigger. You're able to do that type of thing. And we're starting to invest a little bit more into people. We're investing more into our business. We're invested into just profitable things that I didn't have enough time to take my foot off the gas to do. You know what I mean? Because you just always had to make the donuts, you know?
Yeah. Can you go into that a little bit more? You know, time to make the donuts.
Yeah. So that when we talk about making the donuts, it's like the daily grind. And if no one does it, basically the cars are going to line up and there's no donuts. You know what I mean? And so what you want to do is you want to work on your business, not in your business. And what happens here is it almost took me 20 years of working in the business to finally be able to step out and work on the business. And now that we have some leadership in place that can run the business and do those things, and they're innovative and they're really smart people that I trust, now I can dream a little bit bigger. I can do a little bit bigger. You know what I mean? On a personal level, I'm starting to make mantras for myself of just saying, like, anything that I exchange time for money for, the money, at least a portion of the money, should be invested in something that makes money when I sleep. Mm-hmm. So it's an A plus B equals C type thing, where I didn't feel like I'd ever been in that place before. So I look at what I would call reoccurring revenue, or revenue that could have compounding growth, or do something like, you know, an investment. It's like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I'm finding that if you were talking about wealth, I don't think you can entirely be fully base your life around wealth that requires time, where time equals money. Does that make sense? Because you always have that limiting factor of, I only have a certain amount of hours in the day. So I got to build something that's making money all the time. And one of the factors I like to think when it's making money all the time is that it can expand and scale without me.
Yeah.
That's the dream, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you figure that out, look out. It's magic, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that it's almost like pushing the ball to the top of the hill. But once it goes down the other side, if you did it right, you know what I mean? Like, there's no stopping it.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes, and I've been quoting it a lot over the past few weeks. I had an opportunity to chat with James Altucher on the show. And he said something to me that's just every day it echoes in my mind is, you know, ideas are easy, which to me at the time, there's some resistance there. I'm like, what are you talking about? I know I come up with ideas. It's not that easy for other people, but you know, I'm an idea guy, you know, like you know, we're visionaries. We come up with stuff. We come up with businesses. But he says, ideas are easy. It's the execution on those good ideas, which is valuable. Like, if you can't execute on an idea in the most efficient, productive, you know, intelligent way, your ideas are trash.
I know.
Because it's not going to make money. It's going to take more energy and effort. I mean, that's where I'm finding, and we can talk more offline, but or here on this, is like, my challenge is the growth. And the speed to growth is difficult because I'm surrounded by, you know, we're visionaries. My business partner's a visionary. I'm a visionary. So it's like finding the people that can implement.
Yeah.
And happy to do it, right? Just like, I'll take your idea. I don't want to come up with the idea. I'll just do what you tell me, Chris, and I'll make sure it makes money.
Yeah. Now, my business partner and some other people on my team are like that. There was, you know, you know who Bill Burr is?
Yeah.
Like, he was joking that he doesn't like Steve Jobs because he basically said Steve Jobs was like, I want all my music in this phone. He's like, get on it. You know what I mean? But like, you know, it's obviously oversimplifying. Yeah, but
that's great.
I'm not saying I'm the Steve Jobs guy. He says he wants that. But I do have guys that can take an idea and they basically, like, I don't know, like, you ever seen that scene in Apollo 13 where they have to get like a square peg in a round hole to clear the oxygen in the shuttle? Mm-hmm. I've got guys on my team that live for that stuff. Yeah. And so that's kind of fun for me is I can dream and say, all right, now let's reverse engineer it and figure out, will it work? And if it's so, you know, the hardest question I have is like, okay, cool, that's really great, but what do you not want to do so that we can do this? That's the one that drives me nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I could dream all day. But like you said, I mean, I think it was Henry Ford, though, that said something like if you fail to execute, your dream is just an hallucination. You know what I mean? Right. Like it's not real. It's just a dream.
Right? Yeah, it's not real. Yeah. You got to take some action and
yep.
You know, execute on those ideas.
Yep. The quote that moves me the most, at least it has in the last year, is there's a quote that says, for every level, there's another devil. All right. Mm. And what I mean by that is that when I started my business 20 years ago, and I remember being like, if we could just make $3,000, that'll pay for me and my employee to live, to live. And then you started to grow a little bit. And then it was like, hey, you know what? We need to make $15,000 a month to live. And 20 years later, right? It's not like the money side, but there's certain things that we need to do to live. Do you know what I mean? And it's the same reason why, like, I know it sounds, I'm deviating here, but like celebrities have real problems. Not because like you'd be like, oh, I'd kill to be in their shoes. I'm like, well, you know what? Their devil is they're not allowed to walk outside because the paparazzi and all that stuff is all over them. Like, do you think that's what you really want? Like, you want it for a day. You don't want it for the rest of your life. So like every time you get to that next level, there's just a different devil. There's a different challenge waiting for you. You know what I mean? And what it's allowed me to do is it's allowed me to have empathy for people at the lowest level and at the highest level. Because, you know what I mean? There's always a grass is greener type thing. You know what I mean? And so when I embark in something new, I now have that notion in my mind, like, I don't know what that devil's going to be, but I know he's waiting for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And every year there's a different devil every year. Every time you grow, it's just a different set of problems.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if you can come to expect those problems, right? Know that they're there waiting for you, then you're not going to be thrown off guard.
Yeah.
You're going to be prepared for it as best as you can.
Yep.
You know, and it's like when you, with climbing, right? The summits, right? When you get to the top, there's just another summit.
Yeah.
It's just continuous.
I know. Seriously. Like, oh, crap.
I thought I reached the top. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take a rest here. Yep. And then I'll continue climbing. Yep.
And 80% of people get hurt on the way down. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. The people that get hurt always get hurt on the way down. Because they're at peak mental energy to get to the top, but it's on the way down.
You know, kind of just
you used everything in your tank to get to the top.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Stinks, right?
That's a good one. Yeah. 80-20.
It's crazy too, because there's tons of people that, man, it's getting morbid here. There's tons of people that die, right?
Yeah.
And they had their summit picture.
Oh, dude, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
And that was their last moment of glory.
Yeah. So like the guy who actually died saving others in that story said, I view the success of the thing as not touching the top. It's touching the top and coming back safe. My job is the full trip, the full journey. So in that book, and I don't mean it would be like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig dying on the same day. Mm. That's what happened in the book. It was crazy, right? Two of the best expedition companies in the world all got up there. They all got stuck in the same storm. And for one reason or another, they just found themselves in a really precarious spot helping others. And I don't know how to describe. You just can't lose two legends in a day. And that's what happened. And it was crazy. But anyhow.
No, it's good lessons learned.
Yeah, man.
You know,
it's shocking how many times I find myself learning from things that are not business books about business. Mm-hmm. Like I have been blessed by watching a movie and be like, oh my gosh, that's the thing. You know what I mean?
I forgot who told me, a buddy of mine told me, to watch The Godfather again, now that I'm a business owner.
Yeah.
And he goes, you'll see it in a different light, right? Cause that's something that we've seen a million times, but not from the lens of like running a business.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, oh crap, maybe, I got to revisit that. I'm sure I'll see it completely different.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah. The Godfather is a business book, a business movie.
I know. Exactly. Exactly.
Slap people around.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like I've seen certain things, like I knew people that were part of like pyramid schemes and stuff like that. Mm. Right. And then I grew up like with a Christian background, and it was like, you had Jesus and he had 12 apostles, right? And those 12 apostles like made other people. Well, like you go into your your Amway or your whatever that is, and they're like, get 10 people. Tell those 10 people how to get other 10 other people. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so like that was like there's nothing new under the sun, right? Right. You know what I mean? You read something somewhere and you're like, oh my gosh. It's like 2,000 years ago. And I'm like, still the same thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, when I got into the real estate investing space, I started to notice the community was an abundance mindset. It was always talked about, right? Abundance mindset. One helps the other. And, you know, when you reach down, reach up. And you know, coming from an employee mindset, I was always resistant and didn't understand. That's kind of where it all lies. But like you said, it's kind of from the scriptures, right? Yeah. It's all from the old books, you know, like abundance and helping one another and love and having, you know, it's yeah. But yeah, it's funny how it all just goes back in time.
It's nuts, right?
Yeah. But it works.
Yeah.
So brother, what do you want to be a legacy? Like what's your legacy? What do you want to be a warrior of?
It's hard not to wear the marketing hat for the legacy. Is that the legacy of what it is right now for my time frame is based a little bit in the problem that I see. The problem that I see in my world from marketing is that marketing has the need for marketing. There's so many bases or so many plates you have to keep spinning that unfortunately it's not a one-man job anymore. And companies are going to spend a lot of time, energy, and money basically hiring either multiple different employees or multiple different vendors. And it still might not work, or it's going to be very, very expensive. And so we created an alternative to that with our team-based approach. And we've been able to see, it's just like the light bulb sort of go off, and it's changed the way people hire, and it's changed the way people execute and stuff like that. And so my legacy for right now in this 5 to 10 years, it's like subset is basically tell the world in my world, like that there's a different way. All right. It's just like I don't know how to describe it. It's like you can see people on the path and you're like, if I could just show you another way, things would be dramatically different for you. You know what I mean? So that's on the marketing side. The other thing on a personal side is that I know a lot of great entrepreneurs and I know a lot of great dads. I don't know a lot of great entrepreneurs who are great dads. All right. And so my constant struggle is to love my business, but not enough to miss the main thing of why I'm here. And, you know, I've got a great wife and I've got great kids, and that's part of what I want to do is I want to be the guy who figured out how to do them both, you know?
Yeah.
And it's that. I don't want to just be like, oh, it's a balanced life. You know what I mean? I think that's like, whatever, you know what I mean? My mom and dad, specifically my dad, had a way of like being my dad and being my friend. You know what I mean? And for me, it's just like I've already got pretty great kids, and I just want to be able to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I think like my dad's like all the things he did in his life, like he was like born to be a dad. I don't know how to describe it other than that. Like he did being a dad so well that he was a great electrician. He could build anything he wanted to do. But like his legacy in my eyes, in my world, is he was just a great dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't want Fairtech to be my tombstone, but I do want to make an impact on what I want to do. But it's just like, you know, it's trying to be good at both.
Love it.
Yeah.
Awesome, brother. Yep. Well, it's great, man.
Yeah, this is
great. Chatting with you. It's great getting to know you. I'm sure we're going to continue having our conversations beyond this mic and this interview. But yeah, what's the best way people can reach out to you and potentially work with you?
Well, our website's called Fairtech. You can go to fairtech.com. You can email us at info@fairtech.com. If you are a business that wants to develop a system that generates leads, nurtures leads, and converts leads, we have that figured out. We're not guessing. So please give us a call. I also have two different podcasts. One is called the Digital Marketing Masterclass. And the other one, which you're going to be on, is Thought Leader Magazine. Thought Leader Magazine was, hey, I've been in this business for 20 years and I want to talk to really interesting people because I can. And so it's like my passion project. Like, you know what the qualification is? It's like, you have to be just super interesting to get on my show.
So it's great. Yeah, I'd be honored, brother. I appreciate that. Yep. So folks, FAROTECH.com, Faro Tech. Look for Chris, look for his team, look for all they do, all the wonderful things that they can help you in your life and business. Thanks again, brother, for being on the show.
Yes, yeah, it's wonderful. Thanks, man.
Talk to you soon.
All right, great.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.